Like, you're supposed to hit it twice, and I can't tell if it's recording or if it's what's going on. I think it's recording. You might have to edit this.
No, I'll just take the audio. Okay.
All right. So last week, we had to kind of compete with planes, trains, and automobiles. So hopefully we won't have too much of that today. We have two short sermonettes this morning, and when you put them together, they're going to equal the time for a typical sermon. And these are more like pep talks and explanations than what we think of as a sermon. The first one is an explanation about our policy on wearing masks and the challenge we face here, and a friendly plea. Last Sunday, I mentioned that I was going to make a video on this and post it on YouTube because I didn't want to take time on a Sunday morning to talk about all this. But then I thought it might be good to allow time for some questions and some interaction and make sure we got everything on this covered, because after today, I'm hoping that I won't need to revisit the subject except to maybe update a few changes here or there. So we'll give this a little bit of time this morning, and there's principles here that go well beyond just that of mass. So try to think from that larger perspective. At our last elders meeting, we discussed this ongoing struggle on Sunday mornings when meeting indoors, and most folks actually do not want to wear masks, and some don't appear to be willing to do so. And so the question is, how much do we push this? Or maybe we should just drop the whole thing. And some churches have actually dropped it, letting everyone do whatever they want to do. And that is very, very, very tempting. Other churches have made the wearing of masks mandatory, and they diligently enforce it. And many of their members have actually been put off by this. They resent that the church feels more like a police state than a church. And I kind of got an earful of that at the hardware store this week. And, this attitude is, unless you comply, you are not welcomed here. And in some churches, the whole thing has actually become quite contentious. I'm aware of elders resigning and families leaving over a church's policy on this, or lack of. Now, my own objective in all this has been to kind of just keep the peace and not stir things up here too much about it, but that can kind of feel like a balancing act at times, given the strong opinions that some have here on both sides, and that pressure is often felt. And fortunately, this is quite a blessing. This hasn't evolved into squabbles and quarrels, here in our church, at least that I know of, and I'm pretty sure that's not been the case. So we thought there could be some benefit here in taking some time to kind of just lay everything out and try to get everybody on board. Now, we do have a policy here about masks, but using language like mandatory and required and enforced and compliance and must, those are terms we really do want to avoid. But yet, the question is, what good is a policy if you don't enforce it? So I've come to kind of learn here, see that most of our folks, probably I would guess 90% or more, are actually against wearing a mask for one reason or another. But in order to not be contentious, many just go ahead and bite the bullet on Sunday mornings and they bear through this. And for that, we are very grateful. So the reasons range from they're hard to breathe and, I've got asthma, I can't wear one, or there's some other health issue. I've heard of psychological problems. Maybe someone might have been close to drowning as a child. Anytime you cover their face, it's kind of freaky. For most folks, it's just inconvenient. Some have complained that everyone looks silly wearing a mask and feel embarrassed putting one on. And the primary argument, of course, is that they're convinced that they are not effective, that they're stupid to wear them, and there's experts and studies to show that. And then some will say that there's an overreaction to the whole COVID-19 thing. There's more people who get the flu and die from it than this. And my kids are scared of people who are wearing masks. I've heard this now. And a lot of people believe that it's a government overreach. And so they're kind of making a political statement by not wearing one, telling the government that, I'm not going to comply to this nonsense. And then if the argument is, if we give in now on this, then what will be next. We have to take a stand now because other things are coming down the pike that we won't be able to stand against if we don't stand now. And then there's this kind of this rugged individualism sort of thing, like no one is going to tell me what to do. And if Black Lives Matter protesters don't have to wear a mask, then neither should I. I've heard that. And we don't need to wear a mask because we've already have all been exposed to COVID-19 anyway. I've heard that one. And COVID-19 isn't that serious. Most people who die from it are live in nursing homes, and they're lying to us about the numbers, and the whole thing is weakening even now. It's not that great of a threat. And I even saw an essay that tried to make the case that the Bible forbids wearing masks unless you have actually been in the glory of God. So, and then some see people when we meet indoors not wearing masks, so they feel like, well, if they don't have to wear one, then neither do I. So I'm not unsympathetic to many of those arguments. Some of them I think are pretty bad, but some of those I think probably have some weight. And I know actually of a few members who won't be coming back until the mask policy is discontinued. And I regret hearing that. And then we have those who feel really unsafe at church when we are inside, when they see people not wearing them and wish that we would take this threat of the virus more seriously. They don't understand why it's such a big deal. It's just for an hour or so. It's not like we're being asked to give up our firstborn child. You know, what's the harm? Show consideration to others, especially those among us who are vulnerable. And they have experts and studies that prove that masks are effective. And it is, after all, something the governor has required. And so don't we have an obligation to honor our civil authorities? Not to mention that most of the medical community and the CDC and the WHO and all the State Board of Health and so on are all, you know, calling for masks. So, again, what's the harm in wearing them? And I'm not unsympathetic to these concerns. I know of a few members who are not attending because they do not feel safe here. So, do we tell those who aren't going to wear masks that they can't come, escort them out the door if they refuse? Some would probably like that. Or do we tell people who feel unsafe, too bad? After all, they are subjecting the whole church to rules everyone hates and despises. Some would probably like that. You know, how can we accommodate both? Well, at our meeting, I proposed that we can't. And I told the guys that we just need to, you know, I proposed a solution. That we just need to hold two services on Sunday mornings when we meet inside. On the one, masks are optional, designed for all the people who don't want to wear them. And everyone assumes their own risk. At the other service, masks are required, no exceptions, designed for those who need a safe environment. I don't really like that solution, but it would make things more agreeable to everyone, perhaps. Well, the other guys understood the problem, but they just outright rejected my solution. Not the first time one of my ideas has been rejected at an elders meeting. You know, this sounds way too divisive. We are one church family. We need to function as such. And so they sent me back up here to plead with everyone yet again to honor the church policy, that it is a reasonable policy, that it's quite doable, and it's not burdensome really at all. And that it is, after all, temporary. It is going to end at some point. And it should be pointed out that, you know, a couple of those guys in that meeting are not exactly members of the pro-mask club. So it was kind of interesting to hear them advocate for this. Now, I think we can all appreciate that consideration for those in a high-risk group should be a priority. I don't know how you would argue with that unless you're willing to say that their fears are totally irrational or that they should be the ones to accommodate the rest of us who don't want to wear them. And another part of this equation is that, indeed, some churches that have been relaxed have had an outbreak of the virus. This has happened. And the media loves to exploit those situations. They love to cast churches as reckless and ignorant and defiant and are to blame for spreading the virus because of their foolishness. And I wouldn't know how to argue against that either. So it's one thing to have your own personal practice, but, you know, really, how does one set a policy for a larger group like a church? There is the abundance of caution factor, safety, the mandate from the governor factor, civil duty, the reputation of the church factor, you know, our public witness, and so on. Any decision we make, of course, on this is not going to be popular, For some, it will go too far. For others, it will not go far enough. But and what do we do if some are unwilling to honor it or want to argue it or, on the other side, push us to enforce it with a heavy hand? You know, what do we do? What would you do? It's an unsettling thing here. So we have two policies in place at the moment, and there is some overlap. There is a church policy, which we've included in our emails, posted on our website, shared from the podium. The policy is subject to change, and we're encouraging people to stay alert to this and keep informed. And it's been in place for several weeks now. We want nursery workers to wear a mask, Sunday school teachers, unless they can keep a distance of 6 feet, and when inside, wear a mask when you're not at your seat, like coming into the church, leaving the church, and fellowship afterwards, unless you can keep 6 feet away from everyone, which is kind of hard to do. And for the time being, masks are to be worn during congregational singing. For the time being. Masks do not need to be worn when sharing from the podium or when sitting there at your seat during the prayers, readings, announcements, the sermon, or when we are meeting outdoors afterwards for fellowship or for an outdoor service. Younger children are not required to wear one, and those with a bona fide medical reason are exempt. Emphasis on, you know, legitimate. But we really can't have you serving the nursery. So all of this is manageable. Most of our folks here honoring all this, we're very grateful. And when you stand back and look at it, it might actually be just for 15 or 20 minutes on any given Sunday morning that you have to wear it. So it's all very doable. So that's the church's policy. Then there's the governor's policy, which is set to expire Friday of next week and will probably be extended. It doesn't really add or change anything to what we are already doing. He does say that masks need to be worn at all times inside, but there is actually some wiggle room on this. When it comes to classrooms and schools, students can remove their face coverings once they are in their seats, assuming that they are all facing the same direction. And this because of spreading the virus in that setting is very low. And so it makes sense to conclude that this principle would apply to other situations like churches. But on this, folks should use good common sense, good judgment. If you are sitting anywhere near someone, any high-risk group, then you might want to just wear the mask the whole time. Now, I realize that there are many questions and no small amount of debate on whether the governor has the authority to issue such mandates and whether COVID-19 is as bad as they are telling us and whether masks are actually effective and so on. But these are not matters that our church is equipped to solve. We'll let others figure all that out. Any policy we come up with is not to be seen as a commentary or verdict on any of that. Our policy is in place because, one, we are setting an example of being good citizens, of honoring our civil authorities. Let us not be defiant rebels. We'll let the courts decide the powers of the governor. Two, we are showing outsiders that we are not reckless and irresponsible, that we do love our fellow man and don't want to be viewed as part of the problem. So let us not be thought of as fools. And three, we are being thoughtful of those who are vulnerable, at least helping them feel safe. You know, no one wants to say to those in a high-risk group who are fearful, too bad. You know, so let us not be selfish. Now, when it comes to enforcing the policy, well, it's pretty simple. We are going to take it seriously. On the other hand, we are not eager to have a showdown with anyone. Our approach here is to follow that cherished principle where Paul tells Philemon that he could order him to do something, but rather he chooses to appeal to him in, how's it go? In love. Remember that? You ever read Philemon? Appeal to him in love. And so in the spirit of Carey's recent sermon, that is how we are appealing to you. So that we'd all just get on the same page with this. Essentially, when meeting as a church family indoors, we are calling on everyone to lay aside their need to make a political statement, their unwillingness to be inconvenienced, to lay aside their pride, their disagreement with the effectiveness of masks, to lay aside their rugged independence and suspicions of a hidden government agenda and all the rest, and in love, be thoughtful of others. Show consideration to our vulnerable and those belonging to a high-risk group. Let us help them feel safe. And two, let us be good citizens, not anti-government rebels who disrespect civil authority. And three, in all of this, let us set an example for our kids, and for that matter, for the world. Let us not be seen as out of touch, ignorant, and stubborn renegades who ignore this daily call from all corners of our society to practice good safety measures in the face of a worldwide pandemic. So most of you are on board with this. For this, we're very grateful. We're taking it a week at a time. We are quite eager to relax the restrictions when we can, and we will plan to meet outdoors as much as we can. Next Sunday, of course, we have the picnic, and we'll probably be meeting outdoors until December 13th, so you can kind of be planning on that. So any questions? Like I said, I spent time on this because I just want to get it taken care of and then be done with it. Any questions? Now's the time. Notice I didn't ask for any complaints, just questions. All right, so just kind of conclude the thought here. You know, we are Christians first. Whatever else we might be, you know, anti-government, anti-media, anti-liberals, pro-mask, Tea Party conservative patriots, fill in the blank, whatever else we might be, we are first Christians, right? And Christians prefer others above themselves. Christians honor and respect their civil authorities. And Christians care about how they represent their Savior. Amen? Amen. All right, good. Thanks. Now for part two. I think I have to